This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man, and we are back at it. Woo! Yeah, hey, technical. It shows I haven't been here for a week. And, you know, I go away for a week and things just start falling apart around me. But it's your boy, man, and I'm back. And I'm happy to be back. It's always a dope pleasure to be back hanging out with you guys. I've got a fantastic show for you guys today. I actually don't want to waste too much time going on about other stuff. We're going to get straight into it. But how have you been, man? You know, how have you guys been? How's that Lurie deadline? You know, the super duper extended one that was last week. I heard that I saw some tweets from some sound engineers, and they were like, yeah, whose fucking idea was it to extend the release deadline? Because I mean, yeah, it means one more week of like last minute stuff. But yeah, I'm glad you guys got it in there. But it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it on CliffCentral.com. Remember, hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM. If you got comments, if you got questions, if you got stuff that's just going on in your life that you want us to know about, and if you just want to holler, you know what I mean. Remember, we also have that WhatsApp number, 079-748-2090. If you want to send us some comments, you know, like I say every week as well, don't call us on that number. You know what I mean? You know, WhatsApp phone calls. No, Alexa, WhatsApp phone call. unless you have Wi-Fi. You know what I mean? On your data, it's gonna fuck you. but yeah, man, if you follow me on social media, you know who my guest is today. I'm not even going to waste any time. We're going to get straight into it, because I think me and this cat have a lot to chat about today. We got a lot to
chat about. How much time do you have?
You see, I'm telling you, I didn't even introduce him yet, but he's already in it. That's what I'm telling you. This is what happens, guys, with directors. They're used to being in charge, and that's how they do.
It's so uncomfortable being the other side of the table. Just like, damn.
Oh man, but I mean, if you've been if you have a TV and if you're using that computer at work for more than just the writing scripts and art direction, and you sometimes watch music videos on YouTube, you know this cat is sitting across from me. And also, if you've ever wanted to make a dope ad and told your producer to get directors, this man's name has come up. You know it has. But he's sitting right here with me. So in the studio with me today, I've got none other than Mr. Temogo Malope. What's going on?
Grand. How you, my boy?
I'm good, man. How's it been?
I feel like I need to also have like a T-Man the Ad Man or something like that. It doesn't really work that well.
The Ad Man is taken, my man. The Ad Man is taken.
T-Man the Cassie Man.
Yeah.
I'm good, boy. It's been a long time, bro. We've been planning.
We have been planning this. Hey, huge shout out to the homie Chesa, Chesnana, for finally getting Tebza in the studio. We've been trying. But I mean, a testament to like how busy the man is.
Yeah, man.
One of the first things I always ask people when they get to show, and I get nervous to ask you, because you know I know how hectic you are. But what are you busy with right now? I mean, what's the stuff that we took you away from? You know, what were you working on before you came here?
Man, there's there's lots of things happening. How much time do we have? An hour?
Yeah, we do, we do.
With
we do.
Ads in between?
No ads. Oh, we're just running. Yeah,
who
we're
needs
just
ads
running.
Anyway.
Hey. Oh, what's that? Like? Hey, Wanda. Hey, Wanda, what's going on?
Yeah, man. Like, I'm pitching on a couple of boards. I'm in post-production with a piece that we've done with Telkom for the World Cup.
All right.
There's another board that... Oh,
is it an extension of that Questa?
No,
Questa.
No, it's a completely different one.
It's a completely different thing.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, it's a completely different one.
Hey, budget is good there, Telkom.
Dope, man. Yeah. Aye, they're nice. They're nice chaps, in fact. In fact, shout-outs to the chaps there. Shout-outs to Tommy.
Shout-out to the guys out there.
And Cambridge. Yeah. They got my back. So, yeah, man, it's fantastic. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like I need a break, yo.
Yeah. We were talking about that off air.
Yeah. So, a lot of things are happening, and it's exciting times for me.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
I think you were one of the early creatives that saw me when I first walked into commercial.
That's what's up. Yeah. All that time ago.
What the hell is going on here? I was so confused. I was like, what the hell is going on?
It's a beast, you know? That world, brother. It's a beast. But it's a beast you obviously conquered. I mean, you told me now that we're talking about it off air, that you've been working pretty much back to back on ads.
Yeah.
You've made an ad a month since November.
Since November, yeah. I've dropped an ad every month since November.
That is incredible.
Yeah, and I'm about to drop another one this month.
I'm on a little balladin again.
I talk a little balladin. I want to fit to like, renoir coffee, renoir Red Bull, renoir everything that we can to keep ourselves up. Dog, it's crazy. And you know, it's crazy that you say like it's a beast that one has conquered.
Yeah.
I don't quite feel like I've conquered
it.
Oh, yeah?
You think we're still just dealing with the toenail of the beast right now?
I'm still sort of dealing with it. And I think maybe that's why I'm just like taking.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I'm at that point, you know.
Where you can be choosing.
Yeah, where I'm like Keith. I'm like, well, you know. I'll just see that one. Park the other ones.
This man just made the Keith voice.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like I need to work through that point.
You know,
where I can be like, just one. Just give me one.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll be nice.
And then you'll be nice.
You know, but for now, because I'm still taking everything.
Yeah.
I feel like the beast is like tackling me.
That's
pushing me over, shoving me around.
But I feel like you've got it. I feel like you've got the beast. Not necessarily where you want it yet. Yeah. But you've obviously, you're dancing with the beast right now.
You're wrestling with the beast.
Yeah.
Which is cool. For many years, I wanted to sort of jump into the ring with the beast.
Yeah.
And the beast,
now we're here.
It's like slapping me. Hey, come on, Emmanuel. You know? Yeah. And for the first time, I feel like I'm in the ring. I feel like I'm wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's a good feeling.
You mentioned kind of like that time when we first encountered each other. And how long has it been now? How long has it been since you actually stepped in and said?
Can you believe 4 years?
Wow, that's how long it's been, you're right.
Not a long time.
Yeah.
It's been literally like 4 years.
I mean,
my mentor and a person that I've, like, my icon.
Yeah.
And I say to him all the time, he's like a demigod to me. Like,
shout out to Demi. What's going on?
So, Devs, I said he's been at it for just under 20 years, bro.
Wow,
it's a long time for other cats.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface.
That's right. Oh man, that's exciting shit though. It makes me, and I'm sure a whole bunch of people excited for how many more years we still have of this amazing stuff that you're up to. That's crazy shit. So yeah, man. You guys know he's in the stew, guys. It's your boy G Man the Ad Man, and I'm hanging out
with G Man the Gussie Man.
He's obviously trying to launch some kind of brand here. Guys, you know what? Here at Cliff Central, Jimmy and the Headman, we allow everything. You know what I mean? If this becomes the launchpad for your new career or for your new brand, that's what's up. But hit me up, man. Hit me up on cliffcentral.com or at Blacksmith at BLAXCM with any questions or any comments for the man. Now I ought to take you all the way back. Yeah. Now we almost lost you to a football career.
You know what I mean?
Like I have it on good account.
Yeah.
That you know, if it wasn't this, it would have been football. Yeah. Tell me about that.
I mean, that's the thing, right? When you grow up Kokasi, it's like you've got either the arts or you've got sports.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And then our parents are constantly going, "Hey, sketchy. Something
safer.
Exactly. Yeah. So what we do have, like around the corner, every second street, there's a hall.
Yeah.
Where we go there, redala like the gumboots.
That's right. That's
and
right. That's
it's
right.
A Sarafina. You know. Like, and then next thing you know, we're part of like a community theater.
That's right.
Or we're on a field.
Redalatis.
Yeah. So like either or, right? So what happened with me is I happened to have not been too bad
at the Tisky game.
At both of them. So I remember, man, I went into like the sort of national trials that they were held at the time. It was still Vista.
Right. What is now UJ Soweto?
Yeah, go Soweto. Yeah. Dog. And there was like thousands, I think, of kids, and it was like an open trial.
Right.
New squad. Yeah, Orlando Pirates.
Oh, I remember those.
I hated those, man.
Yeah, those are horrible. I've been to one or two. Yeah,
I had actually been to the School of Excellence one previously.
Yeah.
And then I was like, damn, and I lost that. And I was like, damn. And then my parents were like, dog, you're really good at this. You should
go in there. Yeah.
Just keep your head up, keep your chin up. Yeah. Actually, that was my early learnings of how to handle disappointment.
Yeah.
Like losing pitches every second.
And the beautiful rejection we deal with every day.
Yeah, the beautiful rejection we deal with every day, you know? So anyway, so I went in there. And I kicked the ball and I ran around for like 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they call you together.
Yeah. Like, Lee 1000.
Lipai.
Yeah.
And then they start pulling, you know. So I also happened to be pulled out by Augusto Palacios.
All right.
Aster Khomane, like who's
Bobby
Khomane's dad.
Yeah. The Pinfield squad.
Yeah, they pulled me out. They were like, and they held me. I remember Augusto held me like this. And he spoke some weird English.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't hear what the hell he was saying.
He still speaks that way.
I'm like, is this guy saying, oh, shit? Is he saying I'm amazing? What's going on, you know? Is he putting me on the spot in front of all these kids?
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, you know? And then eventually they turned to everybody they learned, you guys can go home. Thank you very much for coming.
Wow.
And like that, I made it in the under 17 Pirates squad.
Look at you, Nick.
Yeah. And I played for a few months.
Yeah.
And in the same time, there used to be those Transnet tournaments.
That's right.
Transnet Gauteng.
Yes. I remember those.
I got selected to represent Gauteng under 19.
Hey, Devon Ochi, someone's good.
Nick is Zama. Yeah. Nick is Zama. My nickname is Nelly Rivaldo.
Nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong, boy. I had a mean left foot.
Yeah. You know the left foot community. I'm part of the community as well. We do well.
But I haven't been playing in a while. Yeah. So the juice is gone. But but now I think, you know, like in hindsight, I go, man, if I played football,
yeah,
I'll be coming to the end of my career right
now.
Right now.
Right now, you feel like you're at the beginning of it all.
Exactly. Yeah. But as a film director, I feel like I'm starting my career.
So yeah.
It's like a crazy sort of
paradox,
you know, to imagine how either route could have taken me.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, that's dope. That's incredible. That's incredible. But now I want you to tell me. Tell me about meeting Spike Lee. You know, because that was right about the same time, right? Obviously.
A little bit earlier than that.
Tell me about that.
I met Spike Lee. I went to like a little sort of small little tiny school in Melville on a little copy.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny little sort of Christian school.
Yeah.
That, so my dad is a preacher.
It's always the guys who went to the Christian schools. It's always those guys.
Dog. And then I'm worse. I'm a son of a preacher, dog.
That's what's up.
I understand how like messed up I am.
You said it.
Anyway,
you said it.
So Spike had come to SA to film a documentary on Mandela.
Right.
And that little where school was set was like, there was like this church.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the oldest churches in Yeovil.
Right.
So I'm like, school goes out. I'm walking to the taxi to go, you know, to go home. And I see lights, trucks, the works. I think I was 13 at the time.
Yeah.
I go, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Right?
So I walk to the trucks. I'm like, yo, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, Spike Lee sees me and he's walking.
Yeah.
He's walking towards his monitor.
Yeah.
I see Spike Lee. I knew who Spike Lee
was
at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, holy shit. Oh, and I run to him to go say hi. Somebody tries to stop me. Spike goes, nah, chill.
Yeah.
Chill. Like, you know, like Jesus Christ. Let the young ones come to me.
Yeah.
Let the children come to me.
Yeah.
You know, do the right thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I walk in. He lets me sit next to his monitor for about 8 minutes. And I see him direct for a good 8 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and then I'm like, damn. Because if I got the taxi, like transport.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, transport.
Transport your via, no. Yeah.
Yeah, via. So I run off. I'm like, oh, whatever. Good to meet you. Whatever.
Yeah.
I get home. Go Jabavu.
Yeah.
Jabavu is literally about 200 meters away from Amphitheater.
Right.
Where Mandela made a speech. And when they did the whole, Mandela's daughter did the whole speech.
Right.
Before Mandela came out. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So he wanted to reenact that scene at the stadium.
Right.
So after the church, he went to the amphitheater. Now that's where I used to run after school.
Yeah.
I put on my sneakers.
Yeah. And go running.
And go exercise. And I get there and I see him again. I'm like,
I saw you earlier today.
Yo! Yeah. How's that? You know?
Yeah,
and
that's insane.
That's insane. So I met him twice in a day. You know, and I literally, like, for me, I guess, because I always loved story. I've always loved telling story from, like, a theater perspective.
Right.
Because I used to do, like, I was a kid telling. I didn't realize I was directing at the time.
Yeah.
Because I was telling other kids. Yeah. It's a so. I went, jump a so.
You've been at this.
I've been at this. I didn't realize, you know. So now at that time was the first time I got confronted with the idea of having sort of the cinema space and the cinema world and cameras to actually tell the story.
Yeah.
So I actually think that's probably one of my biggest triggers.
Right.
You know, that of my interest you know, to actually become a film director.
That's insane.
It's insane. I mean, you don't tell that story anymore.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I think, I mean, most people don't go through their entire lives having bumped into Spike Lee. You bumped into him twice in one day.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
In Melville?
Yeah, and then
Gokaz. Saw it.
Yeah. Shit,
it's
man.
That's crazy.
And I mean, did you get a feeling then that this is exactly what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I actually turned back and I said, one day I'm gonna do what you do.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, when I ran off. And I I'm sure Spike was like,
here we go again,
one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I actually had sort of an inkling at the time.
That's insane. And I mean, how often does that do? I mean, because we see that all the time, you know, when we're shooting ads, you know, there's almost like always like people in the hood, you know, coming around and all that. How important do you think that first encounter with someone that you, that like lives, well, that's in a career that you love? How important do you think those first encounters are? You know,
it's
like
everything.
Yeah, man.
It's everything. Like, you know, I make a mission. Every job that I do, I have at least 4 or 5 people to come shadow me. People that have never been on set.
Yeah.
Like for instance, I'll get DMs, emails, and stuff. I just forward them to Mark, my producer.
Yeah, hey, shout out Mark. the other reason why you're able to be here.
Yeah, you know, because Mark gets bombarded with tons and tons of these emails, and he has to sift through them. But I have to make sure there's at least 4 or 5 guys on my set shadowing me, right?
Yeah.
Some of them just stay at the back and just watch.
Yeah.
And are shook. Others are like, come and like ask me a lot of questions and start like freaking like driving me crazy.
Yeah.
Another time one interjected about something next to client and agency. I'm like,
hold on.
So I think that's important.
Yeah, right? Man.
Because people exposure is everything.
That's right.
Part of our challenge with like how the system has been for us, you know, I hate the phrase previously disadvantaged, but it's a fact.
Yeah.
Part of the disadvantage is that we're not exposed.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. We don't know what's out there.
We don't know what's out there. We're put out there in a corner. All we know, Kitiski, Lee, Miss Sketch.
That's all we know.
And the first time, okay, then we hear, we see on TV, oh, there's a thing called film.
Yeah.
But even in film, we don't know, hey, there's a Wrangler, there's this, there's a gaffer, there's a spark, there's, right?
Yeah, there's all this other stuff.
So a lot of the times I see like these guys that want to do this.
Yeah.
And then they walk onto my set and suddenly they go, holy smack, there's so many of this opportunities
That's
around
right.
me, right? So I think exposure is everything. Especially when you see it from somebody that looks like you.
Yeah,
you
exactly. Know? Exactly. Yeah. It makes it seem attainable.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah,
exactly.
It feels real.
Exactly. And I think that's why black female representation is such a pity that we don't have enough of.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's kind of a chicken and egg thing,
exactly.
Right? Because we don't have any in the system right now, there can't be any more.
Exactly.
But we don't give enough opportunities. So,
exactly. It's like a tricky thing.
Yeah.
You know? So I think for me it's important, and that's the least that I can do.
That's right.
To try and expose at least 4 or 5 kids
into the system, what the system
looks like and what it does, at least in every job I do.
I mean, and I love that you talk about all the other disciplines that exist in making like, you know, film come alive. Yes. Did you go through a DOP phase?
I went through everything.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
like I swear. Yeah,
I saw some pics on your Facebook.
Yeah. Where do you think this bicep comes from? Shout out to my boy T-Bag. I see him out there exercising in a bicep by tie, dog. And I'm like, yo, you should have started at camera department.
This guy comes up with this shit all by himself. Shout out T-Bag, what's going on, homies at Serenity Films?
Hi boy, what you man? Nothing by itself. But
oh,
no. So I started my first experience on a film set. It was Hard Copy Season 1.
Oh, snap!
Yeah.
Hard Copy Season 1. Oh, I remember that show.
I came on, I was a camera trainee.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I got trained. And shout out to Haupi, who's like a black female DOP. She's hot. She's out there. She's hot. She's killing. So check it out. Shout out to Jonathan Covell.
No, that's what's
he's
up.
He's out there. Yeah. He's killing. My first experience was these two guys training me what a camera does, what a camera looks like. And for me, it was important because I've always wanted to be like a writer director.
Yeah.
But I felt like I needed to understand the tools.
That's right.
Telling
that's
the story.
Yeah.
Right? So I wanted to go through that whole thing.
You go through formal film school?
Well, you know what? I did, but I don't like talking about it.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay,
okay. So it's one of those situations. Yeah. I feel like it's so lopsided.
I hear you.
And I feel like it's not really designed for people like me.
I hear you.
People about Sanko Kasi. So I like to say my film school was the streets, yo.
Yeah. I got you. No, I hear you.
So that's my vibe. Yeah. So I did go through a bit of formal training.
Yeah. And then I went straight to set. Yeah.
And I started. I learned the camera. I did camera from camera. I was camera assistant. Then I did VT.
Yeah.
Then I was a clapper loader.
Then I was a
focus puller.
Yeah.
And I was hot at every department. Yeah, yeah. By the way,
yeah.
I was the most in demand every department that I did. Yeah, man, don't play with me.
Yeah, don't fuck around.
Yeah, don't fuck around. And then I was a camera operator.
Yeah.
In fact, the first job I ever was camera operator, and I was camera operator with Adam Bentle.
Wow.
And I shot Telkom for the first time.
All the way back then.
Adam, Telkom I just shot.
No, he just shot.
Adam Bentle was my DOP.
Oh snap! So, talk about full circle, man.
I just went full circle.
Yeah, man.
Thing and then I became a DOP.
Yeah.
And then as part of the DOPing team, we won a couple of SAFTAs, which was pretty sick.
Yeah. This is it just throws it in. And then a couple of SAFTAs. Yeah.
And then after that I started sort of writing and directing long form.
Yeah.
And that's sort of that is my trajectory into what I'm doing now.
So I mean, the directors that have sat in that chair, I've asked, you know, and it's because an interesting thing for me. I want to understand that dynamic, you know, and especially because you also do music videos, you know. So commercials versus long form versus music videos.
Yeah.
Is the prep different? And is the love different?
Yeah. Ooh, is the love different? Oh my God. Oh man, the love. I think the love is similar, but it's similar but different.
Right.
Right. Because the love is like this sort of overarching passion that you have for the game. Right?
Yeah.
I always say to people, I don't think, you know, people go, okay, cool. So, which one do you prefer? Do you prefer films or do you prefer?
And yeah.
I prefer storytelling.
That's right.
So for me, storytelling is the big language.
Ah.
Right. And once you're in there, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dog, you can pick up a camera and shoot yourself.
Yeah.
You can stand in front of the lens and act. You can go make an ad and then make a music video.
That's
once
right.
you're in the sort of ecosystem of story, you can do whatever you want.
And once the fundamental is storytelling, then you can pretty much go anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately, though, our world is not designed like this. So no. They look at you and they judge you. They're like, oh, you want everything.
Yeah.
You want to be Childish Gambino. Oh, look at you. Now you act. Now you sing. You know? You know? But I'm like, dog, once it's all storytelling, man.
Yeah.
And like, once you're in there, do whatever you want.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody
that's
cares.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So the difference for me is like, the love for commercials is that commercial has actually given me a little bit more cash.
That's right.
To be able to cover my livelihood.
That's right.
Right?
And we can't deny that. You know, that's pretty much what you need in order to make the other stuff work.
Exactly. I broke down my mom's house and I built a house.
Boom! Right?
Because of ads.
What do you want? What do you want?
Commercials. Yeah, so don't judge commercials, man. Don't do that thing, man.
But is that
we
a
can
thing?
Sell data and build our mom's houses.
What do you
man?
Want?
What do you want, man? You know.
But is that a thing that happens? You think is there a thing that like there's an eye from like the purists? You know, the purists
and
the makers.
Yeah.
They look at commercials with a different eye.
100%.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that.
I used to hang with a lot of purists, right? Yeah. Like story, like festivals and stories, and like we're all about sort of art of cinema and movie and whatever and the depths of performances, blah 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 blah. And then when I decided to move into commercials, I decided to go tell them, right? Tell my folk,
guys, I'm
my chance.
I'm moving to this other place.
I'm hopping over to Mordo.
I'm changing hoods right
I'm
now.
I'm changing hoods, you know. Man, the judgment, bro.
Really?
It was intense. And since I've been into commercials,
I'm
not hanging a lot with most of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because then even socially changes.
Even socially.
What, dog?
Yeah. Now I can blow my album Zee, little tea bag, you know. Just as I'm chilling, the adverts. Little level has power.
Shout out to the homies out there.
Not bad, it exists.
That's insane though. And like, you know, it kind of reminds me of another thing I wanted to ask you about. You know, like film festivals, right?
Yeah.
Always like, because that's where the purists are, yeah, right? They always go out there and like, let's make the stuff that, like, you know, the seminal pieces that like also like speak about what society is going and. Do you think that is still an important part of, and we need to respect that for what it is? But also, you know, recognize that it's a place where the bills aren't necessarily always paid.
Yes. You know, I think you can recognize half the time. For instance, half the time South African films don't make money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless you're at Teabag.
Yeah.
But half the time.
Shout out Teabag. What's going on? You know?
But also, the purists need to understand that commercials also have an opportunity for you to actually tell pure human stories.
That's right.
Right? And
that's
you
right.
can be deep with it as well, right? Yeah. So it's almost like we don't want to cross the border. We don't want to hop over to the West Bank, go the other way around.
So those things need to feel like they need to live in silos, because you can only tell a pure story if you're doing it this way. Okay, cool.
And I'm like, whoa, you can balance it out.
Yeah.
Right? The more pure sort of cinema stuff can go, okay, we need to find ways to make this profitable.
Yeah.
And then the more sort of money cats need to go, we need to find ways to make this pure.
That's right, yeah.
And so for me, I think that's where the balance needs to come. And
yeah.
That's where the purity needs to come.
I hear.
Well, at least that's my personal journey.
Yeah, I hear.
You know, to go, how do I then balance the two?
That's crazy shit. And then obviously there's the world of music videos, right?
Yeah.
Which I mean, and I don't know how long you've been at the. Oh, is that something that you've always been doing as well?
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is like, I'm one of the early directors that started shooting with Nigerian artists.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Like when Two Face first came down.
Two Face EDB.
When Dibange first came down, when
Burna Boy
first came
videos,
down,
yeah.
when Davido first came down.
Yeah.
Like I shot all of their videos.
Oh, dope,
like,
man.
So that sort of aesthetic, that sort of Nigerian shooting videos in South Africa, I'm kind of one of the directors that established it.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then it got a little bit too hectic, that Nigerian space, you know.
Hectic how?
Hey, you can't, you can only take a sports bag full of money to go pay for.
I've heard about that. That you actually get physical money in a bag.
Yeah, dog, it used to happen so often. Like, hey, my brother. Yeah. You want two videos? Okay, sharp.
Can you?
Okay, here's money.
I want a wire transfer, man. EFTA.
I'm like, yo, this is getting tiring, man.
Yeah.
You know, and like, even though I do appreciate the opportunity they gave me, I flexed a lot of my sort of creative muscle.
That's right.
And the sort of visual language.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of what I did with those guys sort of created sort of my early portfolio.
That's right.
Of what
that's
I
right.
can do with the camera,
yeah.
you know, like as a director. So I'm really grateful, but it got too intense. And I needed some sort of structure, some sort of ring fencing, you
that's
know,
right.
because
yeah.
it was a bit too all over the place.
Yeah.
But, you know, we would cast, you know, so an artist would be like, I want hot girls.
Yeah.
Hot.
That's the brief.
I want 90 hot South African girls in the video. Okay. Clean. And then, but I want to cast them myself on
How?
Set. Yeah. So then you get an agency and they send like 300 girls.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I'll
and
take
then they stand, yeah. And then they stand in front. And then the artist pulls them one at a time, pulls them out. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm like, I can't stand there as a
that
director.
Insane.
And be like,
But I guess you're right. I mean, it's kind of how you cut your teeth, right? It's kind of how you cut your teeth in the system.
Yeah. So there's value for me in music videos, right? Because I think music videos also have an amazing. They've got a role to play in storytelling.
Yeah.
I think the sonics mixed with visuals, with really good visuals.
Yeah.
I think they've got, you know, power. They can reach a lot more people.
That's
you
right.
You look at the average music video on YouTube and stuff, discounting all the paid views and
stuff.
But they
which has jumbled up their entire conversation.
But a lot of the guys hit like the 1 million view.
Yeah. Organically. Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of sort of organic reach that you can have with sort of doing visual pieces like that, you know, so there's a place for it, and there's a place to actually tell stories that can actually be sort of impactful, you know, and without having a grand saying, hey, the brother, let's try to do it like that. Yeah, brother, you know, try to be like that. What do you think? Hey, maybe so, let's move that class so to the left thing. A little bit.
So that's the thing, right? Because yeah. I also want to know, like, you know, what's the difference in collaborations? You know, like, in collaborating with advertising creatives, you know, because you know us, you know,
yeah.
We also still have an attachment to that first script you gave to you, 100%. You know? And then there's also collaborating with like, artists as a music artist, yeah. Who kind of, the vision is kind of, well, the vision is kind of, is a different approach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the, how different are those experiences?
Well, the thing is,
because more clients are still next to you.
Yeah, yeah.
In the
yeah,
ad going, Hinja. So here's what I'm thinking. Yeah, here's this I'm next thinking. Take.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Sugar. So what's the difference? What's the difference in those two? Yeah.
So the crazy thing about as a, being a director, for instance, is like it's no different from being like an orchestra conductor, yeah. Right? So whether it's me collaborating with a DP and the gaffer
yeah.
and the editor,
yeah.
then you add a grant, yeah. then you add client. So that's for right. me, it's not too much of a
leap. Yeah. Yeah.
What to, so that's why, for instance, in music videos, is just a lesser. It's lesser. Collaborating yeah. partners.
It's one less voice.
It's one less voice, right? So it's not. It's a similar thing for me. Yeah. I don't see it differently. Yeah. So yeah. like when I'm doing a music video and I'm like, okay, block this thing like this, light it like that, and a DOP yeah. goes, I think let's move it this way that's and right. light it like this.
Ah, got right? you.
It's a similar.
It's a similar relationship.
It's a similar relationship, yeah. and the more we are open to it, the better.
Yeah.
You know? The only thing that I always sort of why I sometimes prefer. Not having Grant over my shoulder all the time
yeah.
is because sometimes you feel like your voice is getting
is it gets getting diluted, tweaked.
So. Yeah.
All right. You yeah.
know? And it's hard to say, that's my voice.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah exactly.
You know,
it's tough to arrive at the place of saying, okay, now you're fucking it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And half the time, it's not bad intention.
Yeah, yeah. Like
everybody's trying to make
a great thing. Yeah.
Make it great, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes there's this sort of unseen thing, this sort of magic, this
yeah.
sort of invisible energy that sometimes when you are directing and you're behind that monitor, only you can feel
only
it.
You can feel it, that's right. Right.
And it sometimes it's really hard to sort of put it into words,
yeah.
you know, to say, ooh, you
actually,
know.
Actually. Yeah.
You know, and, mm. and you
until
can't,
I direct a feature. Actually.
Yeah, you know, and now I can't go to client. I'm like, hey, it's a feeling, dog. Calm down.
Okay, I can't tell you this abstract feeling.
I can't tell yeah. you this abstract feeling. So that's where sometimes it gets a little bit tricky.
Got
right?
you, because, got you.
Because in commercials, it's like bridging that line between science and art.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, the science of actually communicating that yeah. stuff and the art behind it, you know.
Yeah.
So it feels... It almost feels like there's a constant sort of pull push.
Yeah, yeah, a tug of war of some kind.
War.
Maybe war is the wrong word, yeah. but a tug of some kind.
In scientific terms, we say cognitive dissonance.
There it is. There it is. Boom. So, cognitive dissonance. Brought to you by G-Man the Ad-Man. Guys, I'm here for you the whole day, all day. It's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. I'm still hanging out with them. Hit us up. Send us some of your tweets. I've got a tweet here from Simlet Skitty. Right? Shout out to Simlet Skitty for listening out. That's what's up. Right? He says, this interview is so alive. Jerr, I love it. The coolest dude ever. He's a dreamer, period. The show must go on. Amazing dude. He gave me my first job as a composer. He literally fought for me. I don't know if you remember this cat.
Simlet is amazing talent.
Yeah.
Simlet
yeah.
is a guitarist.
Oh, dope. And, shout out Simlet. What's up?
Simlet used to play, I think he was 16 or 15.
Yeah.
And he was playing for Sibongile Khumalo.
What?
And Slalo Solota and stuff.
Get the
so
fuck
he's
up.
One of those sort of young cats
yeah.
that are like
those phenoms.
Super talented.
Yeah.
You know? And I always felt like if there's anybody to take a chance on, it's him,
man.
You know. And since then, he's been able to do some really cool stuff.
Oh, that's dope,
so
man.
Shout out to Simlet.
Yo, huge shout out to you, Simlet, man. Dope shit, man. Dope shit. I've got Bonolo Bupirima Mukhosi saying, what elements have made Debza successful to this point?
Yo. Chance.
Yeah? Yeah? Do you chance. Think that's what it is?
Look, I think, you know, it's you know... Okay, how long do I have for this?
Get in there.
You know, one of the things that I see that I feel like a big tragedy, right, nowadays, and you were talking about the Lurie's.
Yeah.
And I always think about the Lurie's as like you give an individual an award
yeah.
for half the time something that they actually never really had part in, right? Yeah, like, yeah, and that, I'm talking about creativity.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Right? I hear you. I think I know exactly where you're going, but carry on. Yeah, carry on. Yeah.
Creativity comes from on high.
Yeah.
Right? We're not birthers of creativity. We're just vessels of it, right? You're either open to it or you're not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You can either hear the voice and the messages, or you can't.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you don't hear it, it gets pushed over, it goes to somebody else.
Yeah.
And then I see somebody who's shooting my idea and I'm like, this guy ripped me. Yeah. But no.
You just didn't do it.
You just didn't do it.
Yeah.
It came to me first.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And like I was reading this book the other time and this person talks about, you know, like the whole ole, ole. Yeah. You know, like when you do something like a trick and everybody goes, ole.
Yeah.
You know? So that phrase actually came from, it's a somewhat of similar root phrase to Allah.
Right.
Which is God. Elohim.
Right.
Which is the all creating God.
Yeah.
So back in the days when you, Grant, did something amazing, cool, something spectacular, something creative, people were not saying Grant.
Yeah.
They were saying,
wow, God.
Look at God.
Right.
And what that helped with is that tomorrow, if you can do the goods, you're not saying I'm shit.
Yeah, it's not like Nagafidi.
No, well, guys, you know.
Yeah, I'm just not hearing. I'm out of data.
Oh, I told you, you chill.
Right? Got you.
And then, like in recent years, we've taken it all to ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's become our process. It's become me. So if I can't deliver the goods, Kausani, then I'm stressed. I'm depressed. I'm becoming an alcoholic, a druggy. I hang myself because now I can't deliver the goods. It's me.
That is so profound.
You know.
Man.
So each time people ask me like, like what have you done to get to this point or to be successful,
Well,
I can say I haven't really done much, right, except just be open to it and just flow with it and allow, whether you call it luck or you call it, if I call it luck, my mom would slap me right now. I'm like, you're blessed
you're not like
you know, so whether you call it luck or bless or you're fortunate, there you go,
right.
Another synonym. Or, you know, whatever you call it, as I always feel like you just need to be open to it. You just need to be open to the flow. Well, do the bit that you can. Work hard. Don't be a dick.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Be friendly, be nice, be kind.
Which I think are some of those things that allow you to become the conduits to be able to hear when upon high you receive all these messages. Because I don't think when you're an asshole, you can actually hear all that stuff.
But that's
just my take on it. But it's funny you say that because I was actually watching this documentary yesterday. It was about the Pulitzer Prize. It was called Pulitzer at 100. And one of the guys that had just won a Pulitzer Prize was talking about the fact that, you know, I feel like sometimes you place too much on this award stuff and not actually realize how much of it is actually pure chance, right? Yeah. And he says, I'm pretty certain that if a different panel was judging that year, I wouldn't have won.
Yeah.
You know, it's a collaboration of a whole bunch of things standing in line or lining up in order for you to be able to get that award at that time.
Exactly. And, and enough Biola as well.
Some brown envelopes.
So it's chance, man. You know, it's chance.
It's chance
if Biola. Somebody says, no, I'm not going to take that envelope because...
Exactly.
Actually, Grant is a, you know what I mean?
I hear you.
However way you look at it.
It's a whole bunch of things that come together. So I want to ask you this about, like, you know, when you come and you work with agencies, right? So can you tell? Can you tell once you come for a pitch, right, at an agency? When you walk out, can you tell if you've not gotten it? You know what I mean? Because you know, like, there's a mandatory poker face. I don't know who came up with this idea.
Yeah.
People are not allowed to smile when they're sitting in a pitch.
Yeah.
But can you tell when you walk out that you haven't gotten
it? I've got two feelings that I feel.
Yeah?
Every time I get asked to come pitch, I always feel like I'm the underdog.
Yeah.
Right? So I always walk in feeling like, okay, I need to convince these guys to go with me.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
All the time.
All the time. I have this default thing. I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Low self-esteem. I don't know. Maybe I need help.
Yeah.
I need to see a shrink.
or it's what keeps you hungry.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
But I always walk into it feeling like, right? So every time I see a poker face, I know, okay, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not here to like me yet.
I need to bring you over to the side. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I need to win them over, right?
Yeah.
And then when I walk out, I always feel like I've lost it.
Right.
I've never once felt like,
okay, I've got that one.
I've got that one.
Yeah.
You know, because I often overthink stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I always admire like directors that can sort of simplify things.
Yeah.
And I go, and I'm like, damn, I wish I could do that, you know? Because I always overthink things, you know? So sometimes I would pitch for like 2 hours.
Yeah, and you're like, because you're saying everything that comes to your mind. Yeah.
I'm saying everything and I have like 200-page presentations.
Yeah.
And I always wonder, damn, did I
say too much?
Yeah, these people think I'm mad.
Yeah.
You know? So I always feel that. I always feel like I'm the underdog when I walk in.
Yeah.
I always feel like I haven't won it when I walk out.
Yeah.
Like constantly, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I do win it, Like it's so pleasant. It's
yeah,
such a pleasant experience. So, and when I lose it, I go,
Okay, yeah. I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I mean, I think. There isn't a lot more we can say about the Spirit music video. I mean, it's going to be a piece of art that the South Africans are going to appreciate for a long time.
We can
to come.
Say it lost the summer last weekend at the Summer Awards. Yeah.
I heard you trying to be diplomatic. I saw you trying to be diplomatic on Twitter. You know, trying to be like, no, man, maybe just congratulate the other people. I'm like, look at this fuck. He's lying. He knows it hurts, man. That's some shit. You know what? But you know what? You know, I admire how you kept it together. You kept it together last week. You're like, no, man, let's congratulate the other guy. You know, he did well. But I don't want to talk about that. Let's move on. But what I do want to talk about is, obviously, there was a lot of what you brought to that and what your engagement with Questa was in the music video that you had to bring into the telecom job.
Yeah.
Right? And how was that transition? And did it make the job easier? Because I had Temba on the show with Mpumi the other week.
Shout out to Temba.
Shout out Temba
and Mpumi.
Shout out James Clutie.
James.
Yeah. And it kind of felt like you guys went into this big like team, right? You became this team of people that believe in the same vision.
Yeah.
So how much of that? How much of the spirit that you kind of conjured in the Spirit music video was brought onto that?
Well, it's tough, It's tough because you're working. It's not a clean slate.
Yeah. Yes.
You constantly have this.
You have a job
body of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like.
Know?
So it's very difficult to go like, okay, cool. How do we shift this? How do we make this feel like a separate body of work?
Yeah.
As opposed to like.
Yeah, it's an extension of. It's the same thing. Or
it's like the unwanted cousin.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, who's
yeah.
got millions at least. You know. You know what I mean?
I don't think there's such thing as an unwanted cousin who's got millions.
You know, so the hard thing was that.
Yeah.
And so we spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time with Questa trying to go, okay, what is the execution? The sort of what are the cadences and how you are performing the raps?
Yeah.
For one, and how similar do I want to make it to Spirit? And the first thing that we actually agreed on early on is that we're not gonna flow like the Spirit video.
Got you.
Or as a Spirit song, right?
Yeah.
Because then you stuck there.
Yeah.
Then you like
yes.
You're like, uchenchi le Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
One
turn. Yeah.
It's like machita ba inting ganama, you know? I'm like, lichenchile pi na ba fe.
Shout out to the guys who made that advent. I know who
I
you
love
are.
Them guys, but lichenchile pi na, you know. You know, anyway. So it's all good. Shout out.
We digress.
Shout out to them.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm getting a board soon from them, but shout out to them. I love you, gents. So we were like, okay, cool. We're gonna try and sort of make the delivery of sort of the vocal slightly different, right?
Yeah.
And then maintain the some elements of. I'm gonna say Spirit a couple of times.
Yeah, gotcha.
Some of the Spirit elements into this, right? Now, two things are a challenge. The telecom campaign is prepaid campaign and it's trying to sell the product, right? Spirit music video, it's an anthem.
Yeah.
It's not selling anything.
That's right.
Actually, it's just sort of it's just an anthem. It's like a gospel song.
Yeah, that's
right.
It's
just saying like, yo, people, this is who we are.
Yeah.
Look at us, right? So now how do you take that energy and then wrap it up in get prepaid telecom without it feeling contrived
that's
and
right.
without it feeling forced?
Yeah.
So it was difficult and it was hard. Now, the easy bits are like when I shot the Spirit music video, it was me and a camera. I mean, some of the scenes in the Spirit music video, I shot myself.
Oh, right.
So I took the camera.
You took the camera and you went in.
And
there.
I ran in and I shot myself, right?
Yeah.
So it was like open and fluid. It was organic. It was just moving, you know? With this now, I have a team. I think I have a team of over 100.
Wow.
Yeah, so now this one is like, cool.
Yeah.
Now I can sit and have a cappuccino.
You know? And ask the guy to go again.
And go again. So we were sort of going, how do we not let sort of this privilege and the time and the money steal away from
the magic?
From the magic.
Yeah. You know?
And I think the important thing was, and shout out to the agency as well.
Yeah. Huge shout out to the guys at Fluid. What's up?
Yeah. Shout out. Because what they tried to do is they tried not to be over my shoulder too much.
Yeah.
The thing we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
Because then there's a thin line there.
That's right.
Because what you want to happen is you want my collaboration, my energy with Questa to flow seamlessly onto this.
Onto the piece.
But now, if you're constantly going, stop, do that. You know, then you might break that sort of flow of energy.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you.
And
wow,
I think
man.
A big part of how the telecom campaign came out so well was because agency knew at what point to interfere with the vibe.
Yeah, and when to just let it be its own thing.
Let it be and let it become its own thing.
That's so dope.
I think that's the main ingredient actually that made it work, and that made it feel not contrived and made it feel like its own sort of organic body of work.
That's beautiful. That's dope stuff, man. I mean, I really dig that stuff. I saw it for the first time. I was like, damn it, they managed it. They did it. they were able to capture all that stuff and not make me mind the commercial side of it. You know what I mean? I was able to love that. Yeah. So that's cool. But you know, there's so much more I actually want to chat to you about. But what you won't believe, the time is almost up. But But here's what I want to ask you though. So I mean, I've seen on social media, you know, every now and then I see photos of you and a bunch of other directors that I recognize, you know, about once a month, once every couple of weeks, having a dinner somewhere, you know, having a big laugh, you know. And I recognize that it's a whole bunch of guys that are directors, a whole bunch of brothers that are directors.
Yeah.
What happens at those dinners? Is it something that I should be worried about? Is it something that I should be excited about? You know what I mean? What happens at those dinners? Tell me about it.
The dinners are amazing, man. I think it's okay. Simply put, right? You've got a bunch of brothers that you share sort of you share industries with, you share spaces with, you pitch against a lot, and stuff. And I think the early years when I came on, because I was junior and I was like, wow. I was like, I've known a lot of them for a long time.
Right,
I've known T-Bag for a long time. I've known Twyla for a long time. Z, you know. Yeah. So, I regard them as mates and brothers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I started pitching against them, there was like this sort of inner rivalry.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm feeling like, Ankara, I'm starting to hate these people.
Yeah.
You know? And then when I'm passing them in, like the corridors, Norman, damn it. And I've known Norman since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn it, got this Norman.
You got this Norman.
Like some phone, you know. So I was like, damn, what's happening?
Yeah.
I started feeling like the industry was
pulling you guys apart.
Was pulling us apart.
Yeah.
You know? So we're like, yo, so reached out to each other. Yo, guys, let's just hang. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just have competition, healthy competition, but realize that the competition is the work. That's not us.
It's not you guys. Yeah.
It's not us.
Yeah.
We still mates. We still brothers.
That's right.
So all that happens, it happens once a month, and we come together and we sort of go, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Where have you been? What's happening?
That's right.
Some directors are like, oh my God, I haven't won a pitch in 10 months. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out of this. We're like, no. Yeah. Calm yourself down. You know, you'll be fine, you know.
Yeah.
Other directors come in like, yeah, I shot this amazing ad. Look at it. And we're like, well, it's not that amazing. Yeah.
it's
quite nice and brutal, but what has happened as a collective, you know, of sort of brothers that we've known each other, you can see even in the work, like the work is becoming sort of incrementally better.
That's right.
Now I don't know, there's like whispers on the streets or there's a black Illuminati or whatever. Let me just say that thing does not exist. This is just a bunch of brothers that sort of talk to each other, hang.
Akhona Illuminati ya
next. Akhona Illuminati ya next. Calm down, people, you know? We're just there for each other.
That's
we just help each other out.
Which is critical.
The creative process.
Yeah.
I get to hear like what Lebo's process is in writing treatments. I get to hear what Zweli's process is. He gets to hear what I am.
That's right.
We share ideas. We strengthen each other.
It's that simple.
And it's that simple.
Yeah,
you know, it's that simple. And then we have a nice meal.
Yeah.
And then we just talk football and talk other sort of other stuff.
General stuff. Man. Debza, fuck, man. I really wish we could have another hour. We could just chat. We could just keep going, really.
Man.
But it'll happen. It'll happen soon. But fuck, man. Thanks so much for coming to hang out, man. It's been an easy hour. It's been a dope hour. And you know, like Simlet said, energy is just like we've just been going. You know what I mean? But thanks so much for coming to hang out. If the kids wanna reach out to you and be one of those people that can come to come see you about being on a set, where can they email? Who should they email?
Okay, they can email mark@thebomb.co.za.
Yep.
Right.
So Mark with a C.
Mark with a C. MARC. mark@thebomb.co.za.
Yeah.
But if you wanna hit me up about Chelsea or about Kasi Life or about anything, you can find me on social media.
Kitebogomalope.
TEBOGOMALOPE on all platforms.
All platforms.
YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of them. That's a lot. Teboho Malope.
Yeah.
That's who I am, and that's where you'll find me.
Man, thanks so much for hanging out. Guys, it's been another amazing week of G-Man the Ad Man. Dope show. Once again, I think you should get the podcast. Play it in your studio. I think there are a lot of people in your studio who need to hear some of the things that were said here today. And also, in how you approach how you do things. But yeah, man, like I say every week, I think it's been really, really dope. But like I say every week, take care of yourself. Take care of those briefs, but most importantly,
I know you're cutting, but I just want to say shout out to you, Grant.
You're
like a light at the end of the tunnel of our industry. We've looked up to you as a black creative.
Thank you so much, brother.
Ground for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. Even this thing you're doing and this platform on radio that you're doing, it's necessary.
Thank you so much, brother. We don't see it. Yeah,
we
man.
See it, and we appreciate your work. So salute, my boy. We love you lots. Yeah.
Boom. Thanks so much, man. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, you're trying to make you bring out a thug tier here on my own show. Anyway, take care of those briefs. Take care of yourself. Take care of those briefs and take care of each other. Because it gets really tough out there. But it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. And like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom! G-Man the Ad Man.
This is CliffCentral.com.